Pastor David, I too did notice that not only our pastoral staff, but many on our deacon board and just many servants of the church stood when you've been affected by the bus ministry. The bus ministry has affected many, many, many people down through the years in a positive way. And I'm grateful. I'll share just a little bit. Maybe if the Lord would allow me to this morning, we'll see. Our time is a little limited, but I don't want to keep the folks too long, but I do want to do what God would have me to do. I want to be obedient to the Lord. You have your Bible open to Luke chapter number 14, I'm sorry, verse number 16. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture, And when Brother David and I got together and we were talking about Bus Sunday, and I want to just take just a moment. I don't do it enough. I tell those of you who work in the bus ministry sometimes, but I don't do it oftentimes, but I sure am thankful for you. Amen. I praise the Lord for you. I do. It's just a ministry that, well, Brother David was talking about trophies, and you get to see trophies, but you know, sometimes you don't. And I'm a product of a bus ministry that they didn't get to see the trophy. See, I'm the backside of it. I went like you, Brother David. I was picked up. I was brought up in a drunkard's home, and I was kind of ushered off the church. But there was this man named Larry and Ron who come by from Southside Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Picked me up, me and my brothers and my sister, and they'd carry us. And we didn't know how to act. We were hoodlums. I mean, we were now. We were left to ourselves a lot. And you say, well, I feel sorry for you. Don't feel sorry for me. I'm saved and going to heaven. If you want to feel for somebody, feel for some of these children that are riding in on the bus who haven't heard the good news yet, you see. Sometimes we feel for the wrong people. I'm a success story. I'm a success story of the grace of God, but you see, there's some children, some of them in our midst today, some of them not, some of them upstairs throughout the building. Their success story is yet to be told because they're waiting on some people to love them. They're waiting on some people to be sent to them to tell them of the love of Jesus Christ. And so I'm thankful that a man by the name of Larry and Ron tolerated us. We used to, you know, we'd hide on the bus during the preaching. We didn't know how to act. We were just, listen, we were in a terrible way. But I sure am thankful that God was patient with me. God's patient that way, isn't he, brethren? He is. God's a patient God. He's long-suffering to us. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I sure am thankful God is that way. I'm thankful. When we read this account here, we find in verse number 16 and 17 a beautiful picture of the Trinity. Then said he, I hope you'll go home and read the background. I don't have time because of the time. I don't have time. And even if I did, I don't know that I could completely expound to you what Jesus is doing here. But the Pharisees, as always, had come to Jesus, and they thought that, you know, they had attended another supper, another meal, and of course they invited the celebrities, so to speak. They invited those that could repay them. It's kind of you pat my back, I'll pat yours kind of deal. And Jesus began to confront them about that, and he said in verse number 11, whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be exalted. And then said he also unto him that bade him, why then makest a dinner or a supper? When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends and thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, for thy rich neighbors, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and recompense be made thee. In other words, don't pat those on the back that can pat you back. Don't do for those that can do back for you. Do something for some people that can't repay you. Amen? You want to do something in the name of Christ? Do something for some folks that can't give back. You see. Now, there's nothing wrong with getting with friends and family. That's not what Jesus is teaching against here. He's not teaching against that. Thank God for friends. Thank God for family. But he said, if you really want to get to the heart of God, do some things for some people that can't give back to you, right? And we'll see that in just a moment. And then he began to talk about In verse 13, when thou makest a feast, call the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And you'll need to keep that in mind. That's going to come up again here in just a moment. And in verse number 14, and thou shalt be blessed. In other words, do some things for some hurting people, right? You know, it's good to be around whole people. Don't misunderstand me. It's good to be around the saved. Thank God for the redeemed. Amen. Thank God for the fellowship of the brethren. It's good to be around those. But you know, it's good for us to get into the company of those that are without Christ too. It's good for us to realize that there are those that have needs outside the church. It's good to come to church. But it's good to take the church to the community too. Somebody say amen with me. Amen. You know what I'm saying, so. And if we're not careful, you see, we'll get comfortable in the church. And we'll forget that God has given us a commission to go outside the church, be the church outside the building, and take the gospel to those that are without. And he said in verse number 14, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. You see that in verse 14? He said, listen. He said, do some things for some people that don't have it. Do some things for some people that they just don't, listen, they don't have it to give back. They can't invite you back. They don't have it to make a feast. Just do it for them because you love them. Do it for them because you want to. And he said, then thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. You see that, the latter part of verse 14? And that is what spurs our Lord and prompts him to come to this passage. Because someone there in the next verse, in verse 15, someone said this, no doubt a Jew, a Jewish person in the company of guests, one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things. He said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. He said, boy, won't that be a day when we get to heaven and we get to sit around and eat bread and break bread with the saints of God. And Jesus said, oh, listen, he said, you missed it. You missed it. That wasn't what I was trying to get across at all. It is good to spend some time with the saved. But brethren, can I tell you, we're going to heaven with all the saved for all of time. Amen. He said, spend some of your time with the lost. Go out and get those that do not know anything about the supper. Go out and get those who know nothing about the invitation. Spend some time with those that know nothing about the grace of God. Right? Say, preacher, I love lost people. I'm not being mean to you. I just want to challenge you a little bit. I've challenged our church to pray an hour a day. So I love lost people. Has any of that hour been spent in praying for a lost person or lost people? Now, see, you can't really say you love lost people if you don't pray for them. I love lost people. I love the bus ministry. Well, have you prayed for it? I'm not trying to shame you. I'm just trying to prompt you to think along what we're getting ready to look into. Say, preacher, I care if people die in their sin and go to hell. I don't want to see people die in their sin and go to hell. Well, I set some tracts up here. I hope you'll come by and get one, at least one, and give it to somebody that you know that is going to die and go to hell except they receive Jesus as their personal Savior. Somebody's going to have to tell them. Now, somebody told you. Who told you about Jesus? Well, nobody told me about Jesus. But listen, no man liveth unto himself and no man dieth unto himself. Yes, someone told you about Jesus. May have been a parent. May have been a grandparent. May have been a preacher. May have been a neighbor. May have been a teacher. May have been a Sunday school teacher. May have been a co-laborer. May have been a stranger. Just hand you a tract somewhere. I don't know who told you about Jesus. I know the many people that told me about Jesus, and I sure am thankful for them. Amen. I sure am thankful for them. I spent half a day, about a week and a half ago, I was telling my wife about this. I was trying to track down that little girl that told me about Jesus. I couldn't find her. I just want to tell her one more time. I just want to tell her one more time. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for telling me about Jesus. My life is different now. Changed by the grace of God. I just want her to know one more time, thank you for telling me about the greatest person I've ever met. Amen. That's done the greatest thing for me that's ever happened to me. Amen. That forgave me of my sin. Amen. You know the person who told you about Jesus? I trust you'll look them down. Look them up. Track them down. Tell them, thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. You trying to reach people for Christ? I believe many of you are. I hope all of you will. I do. In verse number 16 here, the Bible says, then said he unto a certain man, he said, then said he unto him, the man who said that about, well, we're all going to sit down and have a big time. He said, well, that's good. He said, but there's a job to do before that. Right? Jesus said, that's good. He said, and you may be there if you take the right steps. Amen. Now listen to me carefully. He said, there's nothing wrong with looking forward to the kingdom of God. There's nothing wrong with looking forward to the grand time, the glorious reunion, and all that's going to take place in heaven. He said, but before we get there now, he said, I want you to know there's a job to do. There's some people still outside the kingdom that need to hear. He said in verse number 16, he said, unto him a certain man made a great supper, bade many. I believe that's God the Father. I do. Then he said in verse 17, he sent his servant. Now notice this, not servants. He sent a servant. I believe that's the Spirit of God. He sent his servant. And in verse number 16, it says, and sent his servant at supper time, verse 17, to say unto them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. I think that speaks of the Son. That could not have been declared had Jesus not prepared the way. Amen. I'm glad that Jesus finished the work that the Father gave him to do.
Amen.
It's because of the finished work of Christ that we can be saved in the amazing, marvelous grace of God.
Amen.
And so he said, this is where it starts. It starts with God. Then verse 18, and they all with one consent, they began to make excuse. Now you know what that means, they all with one consent? That means that they were right there in the area. Okay? And so the servant goes out, and the invitation had already gone. There's not a doubt in my mind he's referring to the Jewish people, to the Jewish nation here, and he's saying, listen, you folks, you've got it good. God has chosen you nationally. God has smiled on you with favor. God has done so much for you in sending you the prophets. God sent me, the Lord Jesus Christ, God sent him to set up his kingdom. That's right. He came into his own. And his own received him not. You understand that, right? He came into his own. Jesus came into the Jew, to the Jew first. He came into his own, would have set up his kingdom, but they denied him. They mocked him. They argued with him. And ultimately, they crucified him. But I want to tell you, it was all in the plan of God that you and I could get in, amen. That you and I could get in. And he said here in verse number 18, and they all with one consent. That means that if you could just imagine, they all three were talking at the same time and they were giving excuses why they weren't going to accept the invitation. That's what that means. They all with one consent at the same time. Are you with me? Verse 18. They all at one time began to make excuse. And the first said, in other words, he outspoke the other two. He just talked right over them. They were all saying, oh, I can't come. And then this one saying, I can't come. And this one saying, I can't come. And maybe when you go so winning, you get tired of hearing, I can't come. And I can't come. And I can't come. But I want to tell you, praise God, one day God will move on their heart and somebody will come. I got to tell you, brethren, there's some more Dale Freemans out there. There's some more Larry and Bowdens out there. There's some more David Olivers out there. There's some more Dan Wards out there. You listening to me? There's some more Calvin Deans out there. There's some more Austin Faulkners out there. There's some folks out there that are just waiting. They're just yearning to have an encounter with God. They're seeking and they're searching. And God wants somebody to go to them and tell them about his amazing grace.
Amen.
There's more of them out there. You say, well, preacher, I think we about filled the church up. Well, we'll get to this in just a moment. Jesus said there's yet room. There's some more room. You fill up one building, build another one. That's right.
Amen.
You fill that one up, plant a church. Soul winning's never out of order.
Amen.
Reaching people's never out of order.
Amen.
Say, well, you know, we fill these buses up, then what we're going to do? Buy another one?
Amen.
Amen. Listen, this thing goes on and on, brethren. And so he said here in verse number 18, they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Now, you've heard this before. Who buys property without looking at it? You say, well, I know people that do that all the time, online exchanges. Well, you know, I don't think that'd be a very wise thing to do. I'm not going to say it hasn't been done. It's an excuse. You say, well, how do you know it's an excuse? Well, because the Bible says so. Jesus said it was an excuse, so it's an excuse.
Amen.
Isn't that what verse 18 says? Look at verse 19. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray they have me excused. I'm going to go test these oxen. Well, you should have done that before you purchased them. Now, you know these things. This is simple. But I think there's a little bit more into this. Look at verse number 20. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Well, if there ever was an excuse that I would buy, that would be it. Well, I don't know about these excuses. Somebody says if you're good at excuses, you're probably good at nothing else. Amen. You don't want to be good at giving excuses. Because I believe whatever that person said, I do believe if you get good at giving excuses, you're probably not going to be good at too much of anything else. Accept no excuses. So you get the picture here. A supper, an invitation given. And then everybody says, well, you know, we don't have time. We got things going on. Sound kind of familiar to you? Well, let's look. Look at verse number 18 now. Well, the first said, I bought a piece of property. There's some things in my life that are going on, and so I don't have time for God. I sure hope there's someone not here today that things that are going on in your life, things, material possessions, have kept you from receiving the invitation. I want to tell you now, things will keep people from doing it. Things kept me from doing it for quite some time. Perhaps there's someone else in here, things, material possessions, kept you from receiving Jesus. There may be somebody in here today that though you were saved, things are keeping you from serving Jesus. I don't know. I don't know your heart. I just know how dangerous things can become. Now, I thank God for things. Things sometimes can be a big blessing from God. But now, don't you let things keep you from serving Him. Don't you let things keep you from knowing His will for your life. But it can happen. Then look at the next one there in verse number 19. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I must go and prove them. Got to work. Now, work's a blessing from God. Somebody say, work's a curse. Oh, no, no. The Bible nowhere says work's a curse. Where'd you read that? You didn't read that in the Bible. Now, work with the sweat of your brow is. But work's a blessing from God. When God put Adam in the garden, He said, I want you to dress and keep it. He said, work's good for you. How many of you know work's good for you? Say amen. Work's good for us, brethren. Work's good for us. But now, when work comes between you and God, when you put work before God, now it's bad for you. Amen. And he said right here in verse number 19, another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. I pray, have me excused. In other words, I don't have time to receive the invitation. I don't have time to do what God has bidden me to do. I've got work to do. Well, work's good in its place. But now, anything that gets between you and God's an idol. Don't let work be your idol. That's right. And so we have things and we have labor. But then look, if you would, in verse number 20. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Don't let family and social people or social relationships come between you and God. Don't let that happen. Now, it can happen. You listening? It can happen. The things, listen, things and work and family and social relationships, these are wonderful things. These are wonderful things until we use them as an excuse, and that's what the Bible says it is, not to do what God said to do or answer the call from God. Right, brethren?
Amen.
Amen. So what does Jesus do? Well, again, there's not a doubt in my mind. There's so much to this. This is broad here. This is broad. What Jesus is teaching here. But there's not a doubt in my mind, he's saying to the Jews who are in this group, he's saying to you, listen, you've got it good, and God has been good to you. Our Father has reached out to you. My Father has reached out to you, and he's ministered to you, and you have turned him away. You have denied the invitation. And so he sent his servant out in verse number 21, and he came and he showed his Lord these things, and the master of the house being angry. I tell you right now, Brother Imboden gave a tremendous Sunday school lesson this morning, wasn't it? That was tremendous, Brother Imboden. And he talked a little bit about God being angry. Sometimes we don't, you know, we just see God as all the time happy and holy and joyful. But now God can be angry. That's right. God's a God of wrath. Yes, God can be grieved. See, God, the emotions that you and I, that we can dispense, that we have, those are the emotions that come from God because we have been created in His image. And the Scripture says here in verse number 21, the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Now, why do you think he said go after that crowd? What kind of crowd is that? It's the kind of crowd that God's involved in. It's the kind of crowd that Jesus loves. See, Jesus loves those that are not that, but Jesus loves those who are that too. And don't you ever forget it. And God help me never to forget it. You listening now? So someone comes into the church and they're poor, what are we going to do? Sit them in the back of the church? If we ever do that, God's going to take His hand off of this church. God won't bless the people who are discriminating that way. So we have people of color come into the church. What are we going to do? Sit them in a certain section? Let me tell you something. God will take His hand off a church just like that when people begin to discriminate against race. You listening? Amen. Amen. We teach our little children red and yellow, black and white. All are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. I'm going to tell you, He loves the big children of the world too. His love doesn't change when you come 18, 21. Amen. And so here, the Scripture, Jesus called out a group of people. Now, these groups of people had, listen, they had a variety of mix-ups. And it just reminded me, I was reading this past week, and God just spoke to me just so clear. And He said, that's about the way y'all are. Amen. We're a motley crew. You say, well, you don't look too motley. Well, you see us through the grace of God. You should have seen us before Calvary. Amen. Well, if we're not careful, God done saved us and cleaned us up, got us in a suit or a dress for the ladies. That's right, I said for the ladies. Amen. I know what gender we are. I hope you know what gender you are. Amen. We're not confused. We might be a motley crew, but I know what gender I am. Somebody say amen with me. I don't have a bunch of sense, but I got enough sense to know what God made me. Amen. I'll get off of that and get on with the message. Amen. So we're a motley crew, brethren. We're broken. And we're not careful when God fixes us and sets our heart right and does a work in our lives and we begin to dress a little different. We begin to walk a little different. By the way, when you get saved, when you really get saved in the grace of God, you're going to think, well, I've heard that before. Now, if you got saved, you probably experienced it. Can I tell you that when I got saved by the grace of God, I mean this, God is my witness. The next morning, I heard the birds singing and I thought, why have I been missing this? What's going on here? Amen. I literally heard birds singing. They were singing every day of my life, but I just didn't notice it. Can I tell you, there was a lot of things going on in my life that I just didn't notice it. But God removed the scales from my eyes. And God gave me a new heart. And God gave me a new outlook on life. Praise the Lord. Amen. Listen, are you hearing me this morning? And if we're not careful, we'll forget where God found us. And we'll think we're somebody and we're it. We're not it. God is it. Amen. We're not it. The only thing we are is we're old sinners saved in the matchless, marvelous, wonderful, amazing grace of God. Amen. And we ought to praise Him while the ages roll. Don't you come to church and sit around like, well, I'm somebody, I've made it, I've obtained. Hey, we've got a long way to go. I'm telling you, God's still working on me. I'm not a finished product, amen. You're not a finished product. God's still working on us, amen. And so don't you sit up in here, and God help me not to sit up here in the high chair like I'm pious and I'm somebody. I am what I am by the good grace of God, amen. You are too. You are too. And Jesus is trying to get the story across here, and He's saying, listen, don't you sit around the table like you're it. You get out there and you get some folks who need to come sit around this table. Right. Amen. What kind of people are we going to get? Well, I want you to just look at a couple of them here. Look at that verse number 21. He said, you go out quickly. And don't put it off. See, I'm not trying to work on your emotions. I'm not. Get in a service like this, you get fired up and you say, I'm going to go win the world, preacher. Let me at them. I'll go win the world. Where's the streets and lanes at? Point me in that direction. You won't even make it to the parking lot. And you'll already have an excuse why you can't go. You say, you sound like you've done that before. I have.
Amen.
Emotional decisions won't get you far.
Right.
But when you make a decision from the heart to serve God, things can begin to happen. Think it through. We heard it in Sunday school this morning. Think it through. God, I know you want me to reach people. I know you want me to impact the lives of other people. And I'm just going to need you to help me. Maybe I'll start by going up and getting a few tracts and praying over them and saying, God, there's some people out there that need this. I don't know who they are. I don't know their name. Don't know where I'll meet them. But as you navigate my life, dear Lord, and as you give me the prompting and the courage, I will not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God and salvation. I'll give them this track and tell them how they can know Jesus and the free pardon of sin. I'll do it for you, Lord. I'm not doing it so I can stand up in church and say I've done it. Though if you do, there'll be nothing wrong with it, as long as you do it with the right motive. Who are we going to go get? Look what he said here. Are you there in verse 21? He said, I want you to go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor. The poor. Poor people. You know, I remember as a boy, and some of you that's a little older is going to remember this. We were poor growing up. You say, nah, preacher, you weren't poor. Yeah, we were. I didn't know it. You remember what it was to be poor and didn't know it? And then some kids started making fun of you at school, and you thought, you know what? I might be poor. I mean, I didn't know I was. They making fun of I had holes in the knees of my pants. See, you just thought the preacher wasn't cool. I was cool before holes in the knees of your pants was cool. I was wearing holes in the knees of my pants before it was fashionable. That's right. I got 50 years on you. All right, I started that. Hey, man, I need to draw some royalty off of that. We were poor, and I remember one time there was this boy. Hey, Dale Freeman's poor. I looked around. He ain't talking about me. Hey, man, I didn't even know I was poor. Then I got to kind of looking around. I realized, you know what? I think I am poor. You remember that? Yeah. He said, go out and tell the poor. Can I tell you something? I wasn't as poor as I realized I was. I had a grandmother who prayed for me, I believe, every day of her life. My dad was a drunkard. I saw him twice in my life. Well, three times alive. One of those times he passed out when me and my brother and sister went to visit with him. And he passed out on the bed. I thought he was dead. I cried and cried. I remember my brother still calling my mother on the old landline phone and saying, Mom, come and get us. I think Dad's dead. Well, he kind of slobbered around and came to right when we were getting ready to walk out the door. You know, he had visitation that day. That's the last time I saw him until I was about 12 years old. I got a call, and I brought a Bible today because I want to say something. This is my dad's Bible. I went down to see him at a rehab center down in Georgia, Victory Home, me and my brother Wayne. And I'll never forget, I was a young man out of control. I mean, just out of control. I won't even go into it. But I'll never forget when he walked up to us that day. I thought, man, there's my dad. I seen him walking up. I said, there's my dad. I recognized him. I thought I hadn't seen him in a long time. And he walked up, and he reached over, and he gave my brother, my big brother Wayne, he gave him a big hug, and he shook his hand. He just had tears running down his face, and he said, man, it's good to see you. And he looked, and he said, who's your friend? Man, that got me. Man, that got me. But you know what? You say, preacher, I feel sorry for you. Don't you feel sorry for me? They might be some kids. Listen, I know who my father is. Amen. Don't you feel sorry for me? You say, well, preacher, I don't feel sorry for you anyway. Well, good. You want to make a difference in somebody? See, God's done made a difference in my life. You want to make a difference in someone's life? Find you one of these bus riders and be a father to them. Be a mother to them. Love them. Pray for them. Encourage them. Find you somebody that lives on your street. and encourage them and tell them there's a God in heaven who loves them. And there's a Savior of the world who died for their sin. If they would trust Him as their personal Savior, they can be saved in His grace. Next time I saw my dad, I mean, I was bitter when I left that day. I mean, bitter. My life began to spiral. I mean, just, I'm not even going to go into it. Just terrible, terrible. And a lot of it's my own stupid fault, all right? So don't you leave here saying, well, you know, I've been done wrong, and so I think I'm just going to let my life go. Listen, you are in control of your own decisions. Make a decision to live for Jesus and quit blaming somebody else. Amen. Amen. It's not your dad's fault. It's not your mom's fault. Amen. If you don't live for Jesus, it's your fault. Right. Your dad's not going to stand before Jesus for you. You're going to stand before Jesus for you, just like I'm going to stand before Jesus for me. Amen. Not minimizing anything that's ever happened to you in life, okay? I'm not minimizing that. Terrible things have happened to people, some of them in this congregation. There may be some even going through some terrible things right now. And I'm sorry for that, and I'll help you in any way I can. And God knows my heart, and I think those of you who know me well, you know I will. I'll help you any way I can. But now I'm not going to help you excuse your sin. Step up to the plate and say, God, help me to be the best man or the best woman I can be for Jesus. I want to serve the Lord my life. I owe Him my all, and I want to do something for Him. Next time I saw my dad, I'd gotten a call that he was dead. He died at 56. I remember, at the viewing, his sister gave me this Bible and some other study books. And I began to look through it, and I've had many questions since then. Why didn't my dad ever call me? If my dad got saved, and this Bible's marked up. If my dad got saved in the grace of God, why didn't my dad ever call me? Why didn't he ever tell me? I mean, I really battle with that kind of stuff. Now, I'm saying this, I hope I help somebody. I'm talking about poor people, maimed people, lame people, halt people, blind people. People that are holding on to stuff. People that are holding on to things. That can't get past some things. I hope this will help you today. So you can just listen. So you can once and for all say that God's grace is sufficient, preacher. God's grace is sufficient. God's no respecter of persons. If God can do it for one person, He can do it for another. What God can do for me, He can do for you. You say, I'm struggling, preacher. I'm holding on to some stuff. I've got baggage in my life. I'm weighed down with it. I just feel like I can't move forward, and I feel like I'm stuck in time. What can I do? Turn it over to the grace of God. Let God forgive you, and let God put forgiveness in your heart, and once and for all, forgive that person that has so tried to ruin or wreck or bring bad things into your life. You've got to move on from it. Say, preacher, did you ever find out why your dad didn't write you? No. Did you ever find out if your dad really cared about you? No. See, I've moved on from that. God's given me a different purpose and a different place in my life now. And you've got to do that. How can I do that, preacher? Because there's some folks out there that are in that same situation. They're outside the doors of this church, the walls of this church, brethren. Please listen to me. They're out there. Some have exact situations. Some a little different, but maybe the same intensity. Some are in dire need, in dire straits. And they need somebody to come and just put their arm around them and say, listen, I want to listen to your story. I want to hear what's going on in your life. Because I have an answer. And His name is Jesus. And He can bring forgiveness and healing to your life. He can if you'll only let Him. Let me give you this and then I'll close. There's so much more. You see those poor people? I wonder if Jesus wasn't going back. I just wonder now. In verse number 19, I have bought. You see that? I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. He said, go to some people who can't buy. Hey, 5 yoke of oxen back in that day, I mean, that's big money. Brother Terry's over there shaking his head. It's pretty big money today, preacher. Amen. Yeah. He said, go to some people who can't buy. Go to some people who don't have things. Go to some people who want to hear. Go to some people who need to hear. Go to some people who won't use excuse. They're out there, brethren. They're out there. That's right. You say, I've gone and gone and nobody's coming. I'm telling you, they're out there. He said, you go to the poor. I think it directly is attached to verse 19.
I have bought
5 oxen,
5 yoke. Then look at verse number 19, or 18, I'm sorry. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. And the first said, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and what? See. Look, if you would, in verse number 21. What's the last word in verse 21? He said, you go to people that can't see. I'm telling you, there's some people out there, they don't have excuse. They just don't have knowledge. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Why, preacher? Knowing not it was for me he died. I didn't know. I just needed somebody to tell me. I knew Jesus died. I just didn't know he died for me. You understand what I'm saying? I just needed somebody to break it down for me. I needed the Spirit of God to work in my life. But in order to do that, I needed somebody to sit down with me with the Word of God and share with me the gospel of Christ. There's so many people outside the doors and walls of this church that need exactly what I needed and what you needed when you got saved too. Somebody's got to go tell them. You say, what about that third one there? In verse number 20. Well, I believe that all of it feels that. See, people that were, in verse number 21, that were poor and maimed and halt and blind, they wasn't given in marriage back in this day. Not too many are in this day. Back in this day, they just wasn't. Jesus said, you go to them. And they went. And they said, but there's still room. I'm glad that when this group went, there's still room, because you know what that means? That means there's still room today. There's still the work for us to do today. Let's stand to our feet. As you hold your Bible open, I want to share with a word of warning as we close. I could tell you so many things, but listen, we all have a story, all right? I look back there at Brother Robert. Raise your hand back there, Brother Robert. I'm not going to ask you to come make a speech. Raise it high, brother. You see this brother right here? His children started riding the bus. Is Amber back there with you? Raise your hand, Amber. Y'all raise your hands together. You see that couple back there? She just got baptized last week. He got saved and baptized in the church a while back. You know why? Because of the bus ministry. The bus went by and was picking up their children. And then Brother Calvin and Buffy began to visit their home. They began to visit the church. God began to work in their heart. Robert got saved. Amber got the assurance. They've both been baptized. Last week, they joined the church as a family. You say, well, that's just one family. Why? You know what? I want to say this. If that were all, and it's not, it'd be worth it. Be worth it all. The Robert Allen family is worth it all. Amen. Raise your hand back there, Brother Pete. Raise your hand, Sarah. You see Pete and Sarah there? God made the bus break down. You say, God make buses break down? Sure he does. God can do anything he wants to do. There's nothing that God cannot do. Bus broke down, and this kind man and his wife stopped by and helped the bus out. Now, unbeknownst, as we had breakfast with them, Sharon and I had breakfast with them and was talking with them after they got saved, they said that they had been praying. They just knew they needed something. And they had been thinking about a church, and they just didn't know where to go. And then Brother Calvin gave them one of these. Thank you for helping us get this bus going today. And he gave him this, and Pete told me out of his own mouth, he's here to verify this, he said, that's it right there. That's God's answer to our prayer. We're going to that church. Came, Pete got saved in the grace of God. Continued to come, and Sarah got saved in the grace of God. Amen. Say, the bus ministry doesn't work. Well, don't tell Pete and Sarah that. Don't tell Robert and Amber that. Listen, we could go on and on and on through this. All right? Your pastor. I rode that bus. I got so far away from God after riding that bus. Sometimes bus workers, you know, you pick up the bus riders and you have little rebels on your bus, and you think, what in the world ever become of them? Oh, I don't know, maybe a pastor? An assistant pastor? Deacons? Missionaries? Amen? You never know. You never know. I'm not saying you have to ride a bus to be saved. I'm just saying that if you do, it might increase the chances of you being saved. Seeds are planted. Seeds are planted. So what can I do for the bus ministry? Well, you can give. You can help.
But I believe the greatest thing you can do is pray. Pray. So why is that the greatest thing? Because when you pray, you'll go. And you'll give. And you'll help. See verse 24? You may be here today and say, "Preacher, I didn't come to hear a message on going and winning other people. I came here because I have a need." Well, God's going to give you an invitation today, but now don't you turn it away. Because I want you to notice what Jesus said. He said, "For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." One day, you're going to get your last invitation. Okay? You say, "Preacher, are you saying today's my last invitation?" I can't say that. But I can't say it won't be either. Those things are out of my hands. I don't know what God's timeline for you is. I don't know. I just don't know. I know God is calling the lost to repentance. All right? And if God spoke to your heart today, you're lost now. You know you're not saved. If God spoke to you, don't just assume like these did. We're going to put it off because we're going to get another invitation. Jesus said, "No, you're not getting another invitation. You're not coming." And so don't just assume now, "I'll get another invitation. I'll do it another time." Well, now you may, but you may not. So I want you to consider that as we bow our heads together. All right?